We got Ann Landers and her sister, dear Abby. Harrison Ford's a quarter Jewish, not too shabby. Some people think that Ebenezer Scrooge is. Well, he's not, but guess who is? All three Stooges. So many Jews are in showbiz. Tom Cruise isn't, but I heard his agent is.
Happy Hanukkah, and welcome to the Dark Ride, presented by Drunk Distery. When I start it that way, I forget how to
intro. Yes, it finally happened to you.
Hey there, and welcome to the Drunk Distery presents the Dark Ride, a fun theme park theme game show with zero prizes and lots of drinking. If you're a returning listener, thank you so much for coming back. We really appreciate that. If you're new here, well, we like that too. Welcome. My name is Adrian. I'm here with my co-host Ryan. We're two people who love all things theme parks and started this podcast so we can drink all about them with fellow theme parks loving fans. Just like you. Now that that's out of the way, let's find out what kind of an episode you're in for.
Well, doozy. From this opening, we can tell.
Well, first of all, we just want to say this episode's airing right in the middle of the Festival of Lights. So happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah, everybody.
All those who celebrate. And yes. You know.
You know, so I grew up as a little half-Jewish boy.
Yeah, yeah.
And
a little half-Jewish boy.
I was little. There was a time in my life when I was little. And they took, you know, I grew up in a neighborhood or a school system that didn't have a lot of Jewish members of the tribe.
Right.
So
not a lot of chosen ones.
So during this wonderful holiday season, mm-hmm. you know, when you're doing fun little plays for school,
sure.
and little shows to, you know, show mommy and daddy that their tax dollars are going to good works. They put me in a little dreidel costume and made me spin around by myself on stage. Yep. True story.
That was their like homage to.
Yeah.
Just like, let's throw this kid in a dreidel costume.
There was 17 songs about Santa and then one song where they just made the one
Was it, oh, dreidel, dreidel, dreidel?
Of course. I made you out of clay.
Has anyone ever actually made a dreidel?
I mean, I've
like,
played,
do you, did
I've
you,
played dreidel.
I know. Like, it's like this kid in the song crafts his own.
Dreidel from clay and right. dried it myself? No.
Makes, like, the kids that don't celebrate Hanukkah feel kind of, like, a little lazy. It's like, I don't have to make my own Christmas tree.
I think they were just like, well, Jesus was a craftsman, so we gotta really latch into that part of the Jewish
right,
tradition.
Right. So, Rye, how you doing?
Oh, great.
Today is sort of like an at the bar. We're drinking High Noons right now.
Oh, yes. What flavor you got?
I've got pineapple, and that doesn't mean anything about my personal life.
I have grapefruit, but I'm going to call it pamplemousse because I'm fancy like LaCroix.
Cheers.
Cheers.
This is good.
You know, not half bad.
I enjoy this. Yeah. I'm a fan of the sparkling waters, sparkling seltzers. Anything that sparkles.
Yeah, and then if you add vodka to it, cool.
All the better.
Yeah.
Happy Hanukkah.
I'm just happy that we're drinking again. I feel like I've been sober for so long.
Yeah, a lot of the times we have to record like in the middle of the day, like the work day, so it's hard to to justify getting smashed on the pod like we claim we will. But
yeah, and like we really did.
We did in the beginning.
Yeah, well, the beginning was during COVID.
COVID, yeah.
You didn't have to leave your house.
Right. It was 5 o'clock all the time.
Yeah, all the time.
But that is not the case now.
That somewhere is here.
Today was one of those days where Ryan and I were both like, I think we need a drink. It was like a long work day. It's perfect.
Real long.
So I'm happy to be drinking with all you guys out there.
Absolutely.
So today what we're doing, something a little topical.
Yeah. So this is still part of our holiday, like...
out of office.
Yeah, out of office alert.
Yeah, we're just kind of, you know, doing... I think the episodes have been fun. I've been enjoying
really
them.
Yeah.
I hope you guys have as well.
Yeah, but we're doing kind of things that, like, are, you know, things that we're interested in, things that, you know, like, are topical.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like...
We're
off,
just...
Not off the cuff.
It's like a present to ourselves.
Oh. Gotta love yourself.
You do. It's self-care. So, in the Disneyverse, when breaking Disney news, you know, that type of a thing.
Okay.
There's always something topical going on. So right now, Disney has officially banned or issued trespass warnings to third-party tour guides at Walt Disney World. Not Disney, because it hasn't happened in Disneyland, I don't believe.
So it's not a company-wide thing. This is just a Florida-centric...
I mean, I don't know if the other ones are cracking down, but they do operate independently because, like, if you're, like, say, banned from Disney World, you can still go to Disneyland.
Okay.
It's not like it falls under the company umbrella. You can't, like, not watch Disney Plus.
That would be a fucked up.
Like, and we're revoking your Disney Plus.
No more Loki. No more looking at Loki for you.
I'd be like, take it. Rarely watch it. Just Muppet Christmas Carol on repeat.
How many times this season have you watched that so far?
Well, probably 5.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I saw that in New York City this weekend, they have like some Muppet Christmas Carol sing-along.
Really?
Yeah, and I was like, oh my God. Oh. I'm like, I'm going to have to... There was still seats available. I'm like, I have to look into that.
Do we have to go and then do a report on it?
We might.
Do you guys want a book report about Muppets? I know I do.
We'll look into it. We'll see if we can get some tickets. A friend of the pod, one of my best Disney friends. Mm-hmm. Her name is Monica. Her husband Jonathan.
One of my only Disney friends.
One of your only. you might know her as her name was previously tour guide Barbie. Now she goes by at Barbie No E. She's also Fake Gwen. She's got a No Doubt cover band that her and her husband are in.
What's the band's name? I can't remember.
It's Subliminal Doubt.
Yes, perfect.
I know, isn't it great? They're like two of the most talented people I know. Like they could do anything. Mm-hmm. They're very talented.
Almost everything. They didn't get away with one thing.
Well, So they're very talented people, and they're going to come on the pod and kind of talk about their specific experience with what happened.
Yeah, because it's kind of not, it's one thing to get, shadow banned, like if you got a letter in the mail or something like that.
Yeah.
But, like, the way this went down is, like, pretty brutal.
It's pretty brutal. It's pretty devastating. I know, as a friend of mine, Monica is just like shell of herself, and she'll come on and talk about it.
Why don't we let her tell everybody in her own words?
Yes. So now. She made a video kind of going over what happened. Mm-hmm. So we're going to play that. And then when we come back from break, Barbie and her husband will be here and we'll talk to them. We'll find out some more information that everyone might not know.
Yeah, that'd be great. Okay, here is Monica.
Let's talk about it. Disney is banning third-party tour guides and they issued no warning. And so now me, your Genie Plus champion, I have been banned from all Walt Disney World property forever. I can appeal, but I don't know how it will go. And I did absolutely nothing illegal. They treated me like a criminal, pulled me into an interrogation room with an Orange County sheriff for helping people. I always followed their rules. I never abused a DAS. I did not cut lines. I didn't pull anything like that. This has now happened to many people, too. It's not just me. And for the people who say, well, you should have known, there are multiple businesses that operate on Disney property every day that they tolerate. Some are very out in the open, maybe more so than others. So how are we to know which one's okay and which isn't? Because they don't speak up. They're not transparent. Plus, there's something to be said about setting a precedent. Disney has tolerated this for 30 years. There were websites dedicated to it. No one felt the need to hide because it was so well tolerated. You can even look up a video on YouTube by Michael's VIPs talking about how he founded this industry with Disney's blessing, but Disney never sought to regulate it. They never gave us the chance to be organized. And so now here we are. They are hurting members of their community and they're hurting their guests. Their guests are coming in at the busiest time of the year and they are freaking out because now they don't have the help that they were expecting to have. Some who worked on this trip for a year or more. And no, we are not competing with Disney. The money a private tour guide makes has zero effect on Disney whatsoever. All anyone is doing is helping people, basically like a nanny or a personal assistant. And the VIP service they offer is very different from the service a private tour guide offers. It's very expensive. It often sells out already, so they don't need to sell more of them. Disney does not currently have the workforce to handle the need that they themselves have created by making the parks so difficult to manage. At the end of the day, we make Disney a lot of money, which is why I never expected them to go to such extreme measures. Hopefully Disney can find a way to recognize this need and allow third-party guides to operate within guidelines that they could set themselves. To think that my family has now lost Disney, which has been such a huge part of our lives, is devastating. I was the biggest Disney fan and advocate, and this really hurts.
Damn.
Yeah, I it's hard for me to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks. It sucks so bad. And, you know, just as fans, you know, like, because we're fans first before any of this other
always
shit.
Yeah.
And you can really tell that Monica was like, this is like, you know, not cool because I lost my business thing that I'm doing, but like also not cool because like you took a giant part of
who she was. Yeah, like, and
away,
yeah,
for like for no reason, like, you know, because, yeah, you know what, because it's against you know, a
policy, you
know, yeah, like, yeah, something that's written on a piece of paper that just changed,
which is why, like, when you have people that are like a big fan of your company and like that, you could literally maybe treat them with a speck more kindness and be like, look, we're gonna reiterate this policy to you, you can't do this anymore, you do it again, we have to go further actions.
Yeah, we're gonna, you know, do what we're saying in this policy.
Right,
yeah.
But I mean, they have people jumping in lakes that they treat equally to somebody like this.
Yeah, like that cucumber gate, like that kind of shit. Yeah. It gets treated the same. People that fight in the parks probably get treated even like less because it's not. It's not attacking the dollar.
Monica, someone that comes to the parks fully dressed, head to toe, in Disney yeah, apparel, and, you know, like, makes, you know, fun things for us all to wear, and like coordinates outfits, and it just sucks. Yeah, it really sucks.
And she's like making more magic for the people that she's helping through this.
Yeah,
and now that's gone, and it's a shame. That's not very cool. I'm excited is the wrong word, but I'm looking forward to talking with Monica and Jonathan, her husband, who's also going through this, you know.
He's going through it with her. Yeah. And it's the whole thing. It affects the whole family.
So we're going to get them on the horn, and let's do it. And we'll see how this whole thing goes.
We'll find out more information.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Up out of bed and wave to my homegirls. Hey, Bobby.
Hey.
She's so cool. All dolled up, just playing chess by the pool. Come on, we got important things to do. It's her and her and me and you and me.
Hey, Barbie.
Hey. And you guys should know that Barbie is literally sitting in front of her pink Christmas tree right now. So this is the absolute most perfect song to play into. So on the line, we've got Monica, also known. You might know her as Barbie if you're in the community. But her real name is Monica. Mm-hmm. And her husband, Jonathan, is also here. Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you guys doing, first of all?
We have been better.
Yeah, it's been a tough go.
Jonathan's fine.
Yeah, well, I mean, Jonathan wasn't as mega of a fan of the company in general as you were.
Well, that's fair. And to be honest, not a fan. I've been working in and around the Disney ecosystem and bubble for many, many years of my life. So, you know, I've tried to look at Disney as objectively as possible for both the good and the bad they've done to our community. They've helped to build Orlando, but they've also helped to destroy many lives in many different ways. And they continue to do both things, actually.
Yeah, I mean, any giant company is always gonna, you know, not be 100% one way or another. Hopefully, not all just evil. This one, you know, of course, is gonna be that way too. Unfortunately, when it does things that are, you know, acting on individuals and individuals that aren't causing harm and stuff like that, that's a real bummer.
I think that that's so we mentioned this in the beginning. So Disney a couple weeks ago issued trespass warnings to third-party tour guides as they were entering the parks. Monica,
some even happened while they were in the park. A girl recently, they just went and grabbed her outside of Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Wow.
That's such a bummer.
She was literally just sitting there and was there acting as a nanny.
Right.
That's so fucked up.
Acting as a nanny, yeah.
Now, can I go ahead? I'm going to let Barbie do most of the talking here because I've only done...
I don't believe that for a second.
Well,
this is going to show a lot of restraint on your part, Jonathan, because
I'm a pretty opinionated person. I will admit that, but this is mostly her thing.
Yeah.
And I do have a strong statement to make at the outset of this discussion. And that is that here's the thing. I understand both sides of it. I understand Disney's side and I understand our side. The Disney side, actually Disney just released a statement about it finally to the Washington Post today, which just published an article about this. But Disney basically said that there were too many rules being broken that were interfering with park operations. That the gist of what they said. But then they used an interesting example. They said that third-party tour guides, and again, the word tour guide is the misnomer.
I want to talk about that a little bit, but go ahead.
But they basically said that they used an analogy that you can't go into Starbucks and sell your own coffee drinks inside Starbucks. Now, to me, that analogy cannot be further from accurate. Like, it's such an inaccurate, misleading analogy because third-party tour operators, again, misleading term, but people like my wife really weren't doing anything that Disney can offer. Like, Disney cannot offer what she does to people, which essentially she is a personal assistant
right.
to travelers coming to Orlando theme parks in general.
Yeah.
And it just so happens that Disney's ecosystem is incredibly difficult to navigate for some people. And over the last few weeks,
for most people. I mean, like, yeah. I'm a Disney professional, and I get the cold sweats when Genie Plus comes up. No joke.
Yeah, and for the last few weeks, we have been fielding all kinds of negativity about naysayers, and well, you should have known this, and you should have known Disney's rules and unauthorized services, and blah blah blah, and too bad, so sad, and you. The reality is, it's so much more complex than that. The environment here, the ecosystem, the industry around Disney is so much more complicated than just, well, you should have known better and followed their rules. It's like there's a lot more to it than that. And the vast majority of people that hear about this issue immediately jump on the bandwagon, that like burn the witch mentality, without really understanding all the ins and outs of why this was taking place in our community, why there was an industry created around it. Like, the vast majority of these people, like my wife, did not go out and try to create this business. This is something that came to her, that basically came to her doorstep. Like, we need this. Can you help us?
Right.
Because Disney cannot provide the assistance that she provides. And the level of service and attention that she provides to clients, Disney can't do it. They do not have the logistics at all.
So maybe that's where we can start, is to like understand what it is that's, you know, the misnomer of tour guide and how this is something that's different than what we, you know, might associate with tour guides is like.
Barbie, why don't you explain like more specifically kind of what you do so people can get that tour guide sort of thing out of their mind a little
bit.
And are
still able to do in, like, all the other, like, parks, right? Like, not correct. Not the Disney-oriented parts, but, like, Universal or SeaWorld or Busch Gardens or whatever.
Other parks do not care, which right there in itself, when you consider, I don't know if a single third-party service out there that does not service all the parks,
right?
You're mm-hmm. hearing anything from any other franchise,
right?
So that right there tells you, well, wait a second. But you know, a lot of the other parks view things differently too. Just look at how SeaWorld and Universal treat their pass holders versus how Disney, you know,
sure.
Universal and SeaWorld put their pass holders on a pedestal,
yep,
and will give you the world and act like you're the most valuable guest in there. But Disney treat you as if you should be so lucky as
right.
to have an annual pass.
It the amount of times I hear people say Disney wants to get rid of annual pass holders.
Exactly.
Like, you hear that all the time. Like, that we're just like a you know, piece of gum on their shoe.
Right. We bring in the least amount of money. Like, yeah. 2020 is a perfect example. Universal, SeaWorld promoted all their pass holders to the next level.
Right.
Universal made it so that if you bought a single day ticket, you got in for the rest of the year. Basically, anyone who attended Universal at that point became a pass holder.
That's some Six Flags shit right there.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Right? Disney
cut the program.
Passes.
Yeah.
Deposit entirely.
Yeah.
Like, it was so like, what the hell? So that right there tells you, like, they just look at everything so different. So first of all, the term tour guide, it started because the men who originated the service in the 90s were VIP tour guides.
Okay. All right. That makes sense.
For Disney.
So they kind of like left the company and then they just started to independently do it. Okay.
Correct. And there is a video by Michael from Michael's VIPs, and he is the one who essentially who became the most known for starting this. And he did everything with Disney's blessing.
Okay.
100%. He outlines it all right there in a YouTube video. You can look it up. And here's the thing. So many people want to come at me and yell at me, and I'm like, I gave you a resource.
Yeah.
Go watch that first and then come back, okay? It's a long video. It is 22 minutes. So I do, I understand why maybe some people can't get through it. But, so that's kind of where it came from. But, and unfortunately, any one time someone comes to me, they ask about tours and they say tour guide, but I don't even call myself a tour guide. Like, if you see my contract, I just call myself a guide because I'm not giving tours. I'm not walking through the park and saying, well, over here, you know, you've got where Walt's favorite stall was the third one in this bathroom. Like, that's not.
Wait, which bathroom?
The one behind Pinocchio Village.
Yes.
Totally, you know, shitting not in Walt's stall.
So, like, I do know some things because I worked at Disney for 5 years as a cast member, so I do offer tidbits of, you know, it's same with, you know, all the parks. I've worked in all of them. And so I will offer some fun things because the guests like that, but a lot of times they're just my own personal stories. But I'm not actually like touring people and like giving a tour of the park in the traditional sense. I'm really just a personal nanny, concierge, assistant.
And then, like you said, guide, like, and when you mean that, it, like, it's, that's why when Jonathan brought up the Starbucks thing that they said, he's absolutely right. It couldn't be a worse analogy because it's essentially saying that you're going into the park and selling tickets. That's what it's saying if you use that analogy. If you say you can't go into the park and sell coffee. I mean, go into Starbucks and sell coffee. But you could go into Starbucks and help somebody order their coffee.
Right.
Which is what you're doing.
Yeah. And
I could give an addition that makes their coffee a lot better and makes them buy more of Starbucks coffee.
Right.
And similar to Starbucks, like, ordering is difficult at
this
place.
It's intimidating at Starbucks.
Yeah.
I'm always like, I'm not going to say, I'm they're like, you want the cold or the hot or the, I'm like, I don't know, just all of it.
Put it all in a cup.
I don't know.
Can you please give me a cold hot latte already?
I mean, I know it's been like 15 years, but I'm still stuck on venti and not knowing what the fuck size that is. So,
see,
the,
so
the naysayers, the a lot of the people talking negatively about it. Stop moving the computer, you know, get picked up in the mic. A lot of the people that are talking negatively, or you know, seeing that analogy is accurate, will argue that the Disney VIP service is losing out because of this. Disney's VIP service. But again, I think that can't be further from the truth, because the reality of it is what Monica offers is not at all the Disney VIP service. First of all, the access is much different. She doesn't ever try to make it seem as if though access would be the same. It's not. But also, her job involves a lot more of the planning beforehand with all other aspects of the trip and travel in general that Disney's VIP service doesn't offer. Yeah, of course, Disney's VIP service can walk you through the whole park and explain things and et cetera. And, you know, they, you guys know more about it than I do. But, it, you know, again, she's not offering that same. This is a different thing. It's a separate thing. She's basically offering personal assistance services.
Personal assistance to help you do what you could do if you knew how to do it.
Well, also, like, there's a million Disney vacation planners out there, which is essentially what you were doing for the first part, and you were just giving them the concierge service through their day.
Right.
You know, what's the difference? Because they're not cracking down on the vacation planners. I see ads for that shit all the time.
No, not at all. And that's really the main thing that I did, because my minimum was only 4 hours. You're not done with the park in 4 hours.
So, right.
Now, sometimes they would want to keep me. Some people really just do not want to be in a theme park without someone like myself. And that is, like, the God's honest truth. And there are times where I've been like, seriously, guys, like, let me go. Like, you don't need me right now to stand with you while you watch this parade. I promise you can watch it on your own. And they just don't want me to go. And I'm like, all right. Fine. I mean, it's your time, so
right.
Let's do this. But for the most part, I set it up in 4 hours, and then I take off, and then I just help guide them through the rest of their day, because they want to know the best way to use their time. They're spending a lot of money. They're often coming from other parts of the country or even the world.
Right.
And they don't know what we know, because they don't have the time to study. And like the analogy I gave Adrian before is like, my clients are Miranda Priestley from The Devil Wears Prada, and I'm Anne Hathaway.
Like, and I exactly.
I always think of the scene where she's trying to like tell her to get the Harry Potter book for the twins, and she wants a new one, and she doesn't care how she has to do it. She just wants her to get it. And that's kind of how it is. These people don't want to know how Genie Plus works. Or they even do, and they just can't understand it. Like, we're on day 5, and they're going, okay, so can I get the virtual queue for this? And I'm like, nope, not for that. We already did those. Like, they're still asking constantly, well, can we pay for this one? No, we can't. Well, can we do this at this time now? Nope, can't do that either. Like,
and there were some people who you had said in your video, you were like, you know, there's people that are coming and they're freaking out because they have to navigate the parks by themselves. And you got a lot of pushback from that. But as your friend, you've literally told me, and I'm thinking of one specific instance where it was really interesting. You were helping a family, and then they had tickets to Mickey's Not So Scary, and you didn't have a ticket to that event, and it was sold out, and they were literally freaking out the fact that they had to be at this event without you, and they were like, I don't think we're going to be able to do it. Like, people literally do have that fear when they're at these parks of, like, sure. I don't know what to – and you know what? Like, when I just met up with you guys at SeaWorld, I haven't been to SeaWorld since I was a child. It feels so much bigger when you haven't been there. You're just kind of like – you just feel like very small, and everything feels very, very big and intimidating, and that's a way smaller park. So I don't think people understand that that's kind of like, that is true, that there's a lot of people that are like, I don't know what to do, and I don't want to spend my whole vacation in a state of panic and confusion. Totally. I want to just have somebody that can tell me what to do so that I don't have to feel this way. I can just relax.
Yeah, and to get right. a plaid to take you around is a, like a $3,000, $4,000 day.
Minimum.
Yeah.
And to be very clear, too, on that point, often they come to me because the plaids are sold out.
Right. See, even that, yeah. Like, look at
that. And that's something that's I cannot reiterate enough. And it's not, like, no one seems to hear that point. They are not having any trouble selling the VIP service. If someone can afford the VIP service, they are going to try to get the VIP service first before they're going to try to get me. And sometimes people can only budget for maybe like one day of the VIP, so they'll use me for like 3 or 4 days, and then they use the VIP for one day.
Right.
And very often they just can't get it, although they want it. And then a lot of other times too, it's just not in their budget. Like they do have money, but they're already spending so $17,000 on their tickets and this villa and Bay Lake Tower. They don't have another $3,000-$4,000 to spend per day.
Right.
So they use someone like me, which is a smaller price point because they're already blowing a ton of money. And also, I'm always very clear too, I can't give you anything special. Mm-hmm. I cannot tell you how many times we've gone to Epcot. We're trying to rope drop Ratatouille because booking it on Genie Plus is a nightmare. It doesn't open on time. I'm like, all right, we gotta go somewhere else because this isn't opening. We're gonna be put behind. And guess what? Later in the day, by the time I can maybe try to book Ratatouille, if it's sold out, guess what? Sorry guys, you're not going on Ratatouille.
Right.
I have no problem telling guests if I cannot get them something. I'm not trying to backdoor them anywhere. I'm not trying to do anything sneaky. If I can get it on Genie Plus, great. But if I can't do it, I just have to say, I'm sorry, I couldn't do this. Whereas a VIP tour, they can go, no problem. But I can't. And so people have to know, and I'm very upfront, I can't promise you every single ride. I can't promise you everything's going to open on time. I can just work this system, this Genie Plus system, and use my knowledge of the logistics as best as I can. But if something doesn't open, if something sells out, if you're not on property, and if I can't buy something at 7 a.m., and I might not be able to get it in the time frame you want it. So if people hear all that and they don't want to go by those rules, then I say by all means, I don't think we're going to be successful. You need to book the VIP and you need to wait for a time that they're available for you because I'm not going to be able to help you.
Mm-hmm. So this actually bring let's talk about the elephant in the room,
the DAS in the room
that everybody is. And I have a question for you on this too, because there's something about this that disturbs me on top of everything. So Disney's claiming that they had a crackdown on this system because people were abusing Disney's Disability Access System, also known as DAS.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know for a fact, like I said again, as your friend, you don't even have DAS.
No.
So now Disney has to know that because they have access to your whole profile.
Right.
So the fact that they're just like blanket across the board, you know, like, look, if there are tour guides out there that are using DAS to get people.
So DAS will let you, like, cut the line, basically.
It's almost like a lightning lane.
Like a lightning lane, yeah.
Then they are abusing the system, and that is wrong. But if there's people that are not doing that, like you said, you're basically just going through a Disney day with them as if you were a part of the family. And we'll get what we can get. We can't always get everything. But these people are probably claiming, like, and, you know, if we can't get you on that, I could use my DAS. And we can get you on, you know, Ratatouille, you know, with the DAS Pass. So, I mean, to across the board ban people when you know for a fact they don't even have this attached to their profile is wild to me.
Well, that actually brings up a really, really good point. And it actually brings up our end game, right? The end game here, if there is one, if Disney's even willing to listen, the end game is that as opposed to monopolizing the tourism business on their property, because Disney is not just a private company operating within their own realm. They can't have it both ways. Disney is a municipality, And I understand that legally within their rights, they have this insane, insane setting where they are both a municipality and a private company, right? But Disney, as is, it is an entity that is a massive, it's an entity of massive importance to our communities. So the end game is that they want accreditation. Tour guides, ethical, quote unquote, tour guides, they want accreditation. They want a seat at the table. They want a way to run their businesses and help guests promote Disney, make money for everybody. And I think that the biggest, like the dumbest thing about all of this is that, in my opinion, a decent company would have taken the time to investigate the situation. And then they would have put some resources into accrediting third-party services that have to follow this, 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 and this guideline, have to go through whatever accreditation process, background check, et cetera, have somebody to answer to in guest services if something goes wrong. By doing that, they could essentially, you know, tax them. They wouldn't have to pay them benefits, you know, because, I mean, Disney's whole MO is having a bunch of part-time people so they don't have to pay them benefits anyways, right? So it's like, you know, so why wouldn't they just take the people that were operating ethically, you know, let them continue to operate their businesses, tax them, accredit them.
Give like them guidelines, rules and guidelines. And, yeah, that, and
Monica said something like similar to that in the video that we listened to earlier, where you said, like, you know, they didn't give us a chance to organize. Like, there was nothing, like, there was no organization that you could follow in order to do this the correct way. And I think I 100% agree with you, Jonathan. I think that that is the end game that would make the most sense.
It would, well, the thing is, we're making them money, a ton of money, and they're not having to pay any labor.
Right. Like, right.
Like, as a business decision, this is the dumbest thing in the world. And to go back to the DAS, like I've told you, I think that's just a statement they made to make, because then if people hear that, they go, oh, no, right. They're messing. Do you know who the biggest abuser of the DAS system is? They're the friggin' cast members. I've had guest relations people say that to me. Like, wow. Because think about it. For me, if I have a guest who's willing to pay me for my time, mm-hmm. and who might be spending a day with a VIP tour guide, do you think if I say, okay, Genie Plus is going to be $30 per person per day, do you think they care? They definitely do not.
Yeah.
So using the DAS for it's almost a hindrance. Genie Plus works better than the DAS system does.
Right.
For certain things. So now if I end up, have I had guests that had their own DAS and that I used because they had it, and so I showed them what to do with it? Yes. Yeah. Was it the majority? No. Most of the time, they showed up with it already. I didn't even know about it ahead of time. And in fact, the very first time, I had no idea. I just show up on the first day. It's there. I didn't even know how to use it. And I had to contact Christy and Lisa and be like, hey, I haven't used this yet. What do I do? Like, I didn't know. But here's the thing. With the DAS, you know, you're not waiting. You're just not waiting in a line. So if my minimum is 4 hours and Flight of Passage is already at 2 hours and I booked out on the DAS, and now what am I supposed to do with these people for 2 hours? That's not a good use of my time. So usually when someone got a DAS, I'd be more like, oh, man. It wasn't like a, yeah. I was like, oh, good. So they're always getting Genie Plus. Like, it did not serve me anything for someone to have DAS. And now DAS tracking is so easy. Do I think it was a problem at one point in time before it was all this? Yeah, I think like years and years ago, 10, 15 years ago, I think it was a bigger problem. But I think now, because it is so easily trackable, I don't think it is. I know that there are tour guides who have abused it, and as soon as they figure it out, they kick them right out. They always have. So to just blanketly make that statement again, I think that's just a very easy way to get public opinion to go, oh no, when in reality it makes no sense.
Right. It starts people rage farming. It really does. So speaking on, let's keep with the misconceptions. When people say you're abusing your annual pass, What do you say to that?
I was not using my annual pass.
You were not using your annual pass. You were buying single-day tickets.
Yes.
And, in fact, the day that they had apprehended you, because that's what it felt like, you were literally on a single-day ticket.
You are a hardened criminal.
You're a hardened criminal. You were on a single-day ticket, and I think people don't realize that. They think you were using your annual pass, and that's how they found you.
Right. They had to have been watching cameras. And so I actually found out, this is very new information, and just the other night I happened to be on a gig with someone who used to be in operations, and he told me at one time they were told to point out in the parks people that were third-party guides. And that if they saw someone that seemed to be acting as a guide, that they were to point them out. So I think somehow, some way, someone saw me with the family, saw that I wasn't actually riding a ride with them, and maybe just sitting out, because that's really the only way to know.
Right.
Anything else, you know, I wasn't taking money on property. I wasn't doing anything else. Like, I wasn't trying to backdoor them onto anything. I wasn't using a DAS. There was nothing else I was doing. But I would lead them to the ride and say, here you go. This is your lightning lane. Have fun. And then I would walk away, usually with a stroller or a child in tow, their child, with their permission. And in those cases, someone could have, so they probably just had to peg me, and then they probably tracked us on cameras, which to think that we would warrant that kind of attention.
Right.
Is insane.
Well, this leads me to my other thing. Do you feel like in any way that they're sort of they're using this specific thing to make an example? Because we know for a fact there are many, many different types of third-party services. We know that there's babysitting, room decorating, pin trading, Disney-inspired small shops, live streaming. I mean, these things are out in the open.
Personal shoppers is another
real bad one.
That's definitely, you want to talk about monetizing your pass.
Yeah.
Going in and using your pass to get a discount and then turning around and selling it for a profit. Man, that's a huge, that's like direct monetization.
Well, what's buying interesting up all the is merch. That, is that what you were doing specifically? And I can't speak because, sure, were there probably people doing what you're doing who are being jerks and abusing the system and trying to sell people on stuff that they couldn't deliver on? Absolutely. But for people such as yourself who are, you know, you were discreet, professional, you're so much less of a burden on park operations than so many of the other people out there. I mean, even me, just... I'm a content creator. I mean, not like on social media, I guess you could say, but you know, I'm a creative and I run around with a camera, but God, it would annoy the crap out of me, dude. And I have a lot of friends that do Disney live streams. So I'm sorry, guys. I love y'all, but man, you guys are obnoxious, dude. The camera in your face, the streaming, the stuff, dude. I mean, come on.
I couldn't agree more.
it's obnoxious when you see them, especially when they're out there with a mountain of gear. And you're like, you know, it begs the question. It's like, are they making an example? Yes. Why are they? That remains to be seen. Like, it's just, it's mind-boggling to me because, you know, Monica is providing a service, actually bringing a lot of income and money to the park. You know, not directly selling intellectual property, anything like that. So it's, you know, it's very strange to me why they would go after this particular group.
Yeah, it feels strange to target, like, it makes me believe that in some way they believe that they are losing money in some way from this. Like, that the only thing that makes sense...
Yeah, for me, it's like either that or that they're planning on rolling out a version of tour guiding that is, like, less intensive, something that's more similar to this. And they want to clear the deck first.
I thought about that too. That would be financially, if they were, you know, trying to monopolize the industry. Which, by the way, I don't see this as being anything like. I don't. this would not surprise me at all from Disney. I mean, they are all about trying to monopolize everything they can, right?
It's true. Yeah.
They're about monopolizing the industry. They want a nickel and dime. They are not shy about squeezing every single penny out of the local tourist economy, you know. So for them to potentially roll something out like this, where it's like a whole trip planning service, maybe. But the logistics of that would be insane, not to mention how much full-time staff would they have to hire. Like, it would be a ginormous undertaking for them.
Mm.
Agreed, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. So their VIP service is already sold out a lot of the time, which is why people come to people like me. And so, and they banned at this point now over 100 guides. There are still other guides out there in the park. So their service is already sold out, and I doubt they even maybe they have 100 VIP guides. I doubt they even have that many. So to think that they banned 100 of us,
mm-hmm.
that there's still more out there working. Think about how many people want this. How is Disney ever going to staff and fulfill that need?
Yeah.
That's like an entire department they have to hire.
Let's also talk about beyond what you were doing specifically for the guests.
Uh-huh.
You were also, as somebody that was constantly using this program, you were on social media educating people about, for free, how to use it, answering mm-hmm. nonstop questions. People thought of you, like you said, their Genie Plus champion. Like, you know, anytime there was a slight, this thing kept changing, especially in the beginning. It's constantly changing, and then this day, and then all of a sudden the price is changing, and it's this and that.
Yeah, they should have got you a fucking medal.
The toggling between the screens, like there's the tip screen, then there's the your day screen, which I still get tripped up on. You were the person that people knew could answer those questions right away and know how to do that. And it was nice to have somebody that was constantly using this, because I'm an annual pass holder. A lot of my friends now through social media are annual pass holders. Most of us don't get Genie Plus because we're annual pass holders, and it's not necessary for us to spend our day on rides all day long. So it's like, well, do I really want to spend $30 on this? No. So somebody that's using it constantly, I think it's going to be rare to find anybody doing like what you were doing and educating people on this system that's as in the know as you were, because now there's not somebody in the park using it on a constant basis. But, I mean, I want to thank you personally for all those years of that, because, you know, you helped so many people that weren't even using your service. Because it is, I know people are like, oh, this is dramatic. It's not that hard.
No, fuck that.
It's really is. And we constantly talk about how it's like, I don't know how somebody can just like, Ryan and I were just talking about this. You had a friend that said, was it you? Maybe I was talking to somebody else. They had a friend where they were just literally like, you know, we're going to Disney in 2 weeks.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. And I was like, no, you're not.
And they were just like, we're going to wing it, you know? And like, it's just, it's like, these people do not know what they are in for. And it scares me as somebody that goes all the time to know that new people are always going. So it was nice to have people out there that were kind of just consistently educating and had a library of material on how to do that. I think this was a very poor decision on Disney's part. I think they have way bigger fish to fry.
Yeah, it seems nearsighted. It seems like it was, maybe it was just like one, you know, like just the security group was like, oh,
we got a new initiative.
Yeah, we're going to do it.
Yeah, we got something on the 2023 goals.
Yeah, guns blazing or some shit. Because, you know, I think that if anybody really sat down and thought about the service that was being provided,
if they really thought about it and if they really looked into individuals,
yeah,
and like actually, like I think you even said, like, where's the proof? Like if they actually like looked into individuals, they were able to follow along on their, we have all of our stuff on our phone, they have access, they know where I am at all times when I'm there.
Yeah.
There's also another part of this that no one is mentioning at all. Like, while I'm being crucified,
mm-hmm.
I didn't just go down dark alleys going, hey, you want me to work your Genie Plus for you? I was hired.
People were coming to you.
Come to me. So what?
Yeah, you didn't even have to, you didn't have to market your services. And as somebody that's in marketing, I really resented that.
I didn't even have a website at all. So it's all, you only find me if someone else has used me and they give you my phone number. So, like, why is it that the guides are all so evil? Like, what about the people that use them? Like, and if, I don't want to say that. I don't say that to just, I don't know what the word I'm looking for.
I know
for.
What
I'm
you mean.
About that, you know, but I, it's like, why am I the villain here when this service was sought out and it was the other people? My phone, like I said in another video, and it's still happening. My phone is still ringing.
Right. Yeah. But that is a big misconception. People do not realize that. They think you're out there handing your business card out. it's just,
I don't even have them.
Yeah,
that's something that I'm seeing a lot too on the, because I've scoped out some of the threads about it, and the recurring conception or misconception of this is just that it's some cheap kind of, you know, like cheap trailer park, you know, guy
swindoozling people. Yeah,
bamboozling people going, hey, you want a tour of the theme park, buddy? It's like, dude, it's not like that at all. And I mean, and again, maybe there are some that are like that, which brings me back. Why doesn't Disney regulate it like they do other third party businesses? Can I share a quick story? I don't know if you guys know
I'm not in charge.
I've worked as a third party entertainer on Disney property for about 10 years.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, I am not an authorized third party entertainer with Disney. Now, that doesn't mean that I wasn't hired to be there, but I was being hired by other third party servicers that are also not technically authorized by Disney, because Disney doesn't really have a very easy way for independent small businesses to quote unquote become authorized, right? Mm-hmm. But again, Disney is operating a ginormous like company, which is basically a municipality that has its own macroeconomic kind of situation going on, and so those resources aren't there for small time operators. So the point is, I was working as an entertainer in various restaurants. I've worked at like Splitsville at Disney Springs. I've done a couple gigs at like Homecoming, but most of the gigs that I would do were at House of Blues, and I mean, you
yes.
guys have seen me play there, whatever. Well, I was technically doing business on Disney property, but I was never authorized by them or anything like that. So security never really knew what was going on. Like, I would go in the entertainer's entrance, but it was the same entrance that Disney Entertainment would go through. So, long story short, about a year and a half or 2 years ago, kind of around still when COVID was still happening. I was going in the entrance that I had gone in, you know, for years. At
Jonathan
that point.
Just ended COVID, everybody. Well done.
You know, thank you. I mean? Thank you, Jonathan.
When there was still
somebody
like,
had
more
to do it.
Active COVID protocol.
When we were in the thick of it. Yeah.
Yes. So.
Like a stew.
I walked in. I was trying to go in with all my equipment like I had done for years and literally hundreds of times before. And
right.
Suddenly I was stopped by one security guard. I was like, oh, wait, no, you're third party. You can't let you in here. You're going to have to go back and go through this and do that. I'm like, whoa, I can't. So I come to find out, I get very frustrated with security because I'm like, I told them, you don't have a protocol for me. You never have. Now, all of a sudden, you're telling me I can't go to my job. So I had to call the management from House of Blues. They had to come over. And it was a whole big thing.
Even the manager from House of Blues was not enough.
Right.
And by then, the entire band is standing out there waiting to go in, and they were supposed to be starting, like, right then.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was this whole big scene. I was getting upset and raising my voice. And
shocking.
I know. I was trying to just go to work.
Right.
Know? And Disney suddenly was like, nope, sorry, can't do this anymore. And I was like, what are you talking about, dude? Like, so long story short. We got into this big thing, and then like third-party business management had to get involved with Disney management, and they eventually got us accredited, right? So eventually Disney was like, okay, yeah, we'll let you continue to hire third parties. They're just going to have to accredit. Now, Disney could have said, hey, we have entertainment at Disney Springs too. Like, that's in direct competition with our entertainment services. But they didn't. And so my question is, why wouldn't they take the same approach here? Because ultimately, we are not the same as their entertainment services, right? Like, she is not the same as their VIP tour guide services. And so right. this has happened to me before as in a different way as a third party. And it really just, like, kind of illuminated to me that Disney doesn't know what the hell's going on.
I think that's probably the bottom line of the whole thing, is that it's such a huge corporation that it probably doesn't know what the hell is going on.
Yeah.
No, I don't think they know or understand what the hell's going on.
Yeah,
they really don't.
I think that there's individual pieces, and they think that they know, but that nobody has the full picture. And it's not like Bob Iger. You know, this decision didn't come down from Bob, right? Like,
here's the proof that they don't know what's going on. There are third-party businesses that are on their media lists that mm-hmm. get media access to new events that, you know, like, are happening. Like, there's this, like, brass ring in the Disney community to be granted media access, to be have Disney say, come to Epcot for the first day of Food and Wine. And there's third-party companies that have third-party business that are on that list. So that are going to those things, and it just kind of makes you wonder, like
they definitely go in and take pictures,
yeah,
and then post it to promote their thing,
to promote their merch or whatever.
They're using their annual pass to get in,
yeah,
to go take those pictures to promote their stuff.
So it seems like there's a lot of moving parts here, and there's a lot of departments that are not speaking, and it feels like this weird security initiative, in my opinion.
Yeah,
also, like, so. Bob Iger has replaced JPEG. He's now getting, like, his approval rating is going down a little bit because people are feeling like he's not quick enough to do a lot of things. So
good old DeMauro just sits there in the shadows.
Just gets away with everything.
The fuck he wants.
Just always gets away with it because he's good looking.
Yeah.
So the JFK of Disney.
The JFK of Disney is untouchable.
That's like me, dude. I'm so good looking, I can do anything I want.
And you are TikTok famous, so people just don't mess with you. They don't want to get a post about them.
So before we wrap up today's discussion, class. Monica, is there anything that you want to...
What's the course of action?
Yeah.
What can people do? How can people that want to help, that know that, you know, and I'm given the vote of confidence. I'm a third party to this third party right here, and I can attest.
And I'm a third party to Adrian, who's a third party. So, like, I'm a carry the two.
It's very frustrating for me. I'm going to make this about me for a second. As a friend of Monica and Jonathan, knowing what good people they are, how they don't do things to break the rules, Monica has done nothing but champion Disney. And I know for a fact, because I'm her friend, I've seen this stuff from the outside. I know these things. I've heard people say, like, I don't really believe she was trespassed. I have never seen the proof. I'm like, I have. I saw the proof. It's very frustrating.
Yeah.
And so I just want to attest to that. I'm making my my attest meant to everything that she's saying is true.
Yeah. And I want to go on record saying that how, like, this podcast thinks that it's super fucked up the way they did
we
it.
We do. We stand with the third party guides.
Yeah.
Well, and thank you for saying that because you know, that's the last kind of part of the argument that I left out is, you know, ultimately we have to respect Disney's business decisions, and had they issued a statement that said, as of this date, because of these reasons, we will no longer allow third-party guides, then we would have accepted it.
Yes.
And moved on.
Yep.
You know, honestly, we really would have. Monica would have found other ways to make a living.
Super talented.
And we would have just regrouped. What we are pissed about is not the fact that they want to ban it for whatever their reasons are. That's not why we're pissed. We're bummed about that, but we're not pissed. What we're pissed about, and what makes me angry at Disney for the scumbag corporation they are, is the way they went about it.
Yeah.
They were abusive, almost vindictive in nature, criminalizing, punitive, over the top, absolutely stupid as fuck, treating somebody who's been a champion for their brand for this long, treating her like a fucking common thief. And honestly, it's disgusting. Now, personally, I don't want anything to do with Disney ever anymore. I quit my job at House of Blues. I don't work there anymore. I would be as happy as can be to never set foot on that property again, because I never liked Disney to begin with. I'm sorry. Here's my truth. Now you have it. I fucking hate it. God, it feels good to say that. Love you guys. Hate Disney. But the point is, we're pissed at how they went about it, man. You don't treat people like that.
That's the sucky part. Yeah.
I don't think either of us have the same sentiment as you, obviously, but I do. I'm totally standing right next to you with
the way it was done, really over the top, and just really disheartening that they would, you know, treat somebody like that. And you know, I'm sorry that of everything that you went through. It's really it just on an emotional level. It's not. People are not understanding how this affected your whole life. And
it's everything. Like, I told you, like, last week, you know, Universal's doing facial recognition now in the front. You just look at a screen. And I had gone in once and done it, and it was fine. And so then Jonathan and I did a little staycation there last week. And so it's now my second time entering with it. And she stopped me, and she had to look at my pass again. And she had to adjust something. And it ended up, it was just that the shape of my sunglasses was different. It wasn't any big deal. But I started hyperventilating and crying.
That sucks. So PTSD.
Because of the PTSD. So Jonathan had to give me a Xanax to calm down.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't calm down. And thing is, when you do something, when you're caught doing something that you know was wrong, you don't have those kinds of reactions.
No.
Because what if you know that you deserve it, right?
It was like a ticking time bomb,
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's not the case here. You know, everyone's like, well, you know, the rules, you broke the rules. You've got live streamers out there every single day in front of the world. You know, that's just, I hate to use that example because I don't think they're bad, but they're right there. They're using their path. They're getting money right there in real time in front of the world, and they're allowing it to happen. So how am I supposed to know that rule, like what they're monetizing their pass, and that's the only thing I did was, you know, monetizing whatever, running a business on property. That's what they're doing too. So like how...
There's an major inconsistency going on here.
Incredibly inconsistent.
Yeah.
And that's what's the most hurtful. Like, I'm having trouble sleeping, like, just anxiety, you know, I'm having trouble eating. Like, it's encompassing everything. So as far as what other people can do.
Yes, please.
Is obviously writing right to the executives, you know, Josh, Jeff Vahale, or how?
Yeah, I don't know. I never know how to say his name either. But Jeff V.
Letters like write it to them just to let them know that A, the treatment, you know, if you are so inclined, that just that the treatment of the guides was too far, and that they're also hurting members of their community by this banning, as well as they're hurting the guests. And really, at the end of the day, what's going to end up making the most difference are when the guests who would use me don't come and they actually lose money. That's really the only thing that's going to hurt them. But if anyone has ever used a third-party service and found it to be worthwhile and wanted to speak on behalf and to write in, because really it's public opinion more than anything.
Right.
I'm with a group of guides. We're trying to meet and organize. We have not been able to do so yet, actually. It keeps getting postponed, but we're trying to figure out our steps. I would love...
Maybe you should hire a third-party coordinator.
Bom, bom, bom. I'll tell you what, Monica, once you guys have done that, and please let us know, and we'll happily spread the word.
Yeah,
we'll keep on reporting on it and letting the word out.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I would love to get more word out. Like, there was an article made it to the Washington Post, and some of the guides were happy about it, but the way it was written, it ended up, I don't, And this, again, just shows how confusing Disney is, that she spent over an hour talking to each guide. But then in the article, she said, A, that they used the Genie Plus cutting the line service.
The Genie Plus skipping the line service or whatever.
Which is not correct.
Yeah. What is that?
Exactly. Can I get that, please?
Yes. Right. That's not a thing. And then she also said that, like, that the guides were selling the Genie Plus, which that's not a thing. That's not possible.
Right. And how could you even do that?
Right. You can't. Like
you're putting a premium on it? Like, if it costs $25, you're charging $35, and that's ridiculous.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's actually probably another misnomer I would like to actually very quickly address, too, is that my guests paid all the money directly to Disney. They bought Genie Plus from Disney. They bought the individual lightning lanes all from Disney. They're staying on the property. Their tickets, all that went directly to Disney. I did not take any of it. Disney made more money because I encouraged the people to stay on property and told them. I'm the one that made them buy into all of it.
You encourage them to stay on property because...
Because it's the right move to do.
Because of... Like, it made her enjoy
your vacation.
And, like, with getting it earlier access...
Right.
So, like, you wanted them to stay on property because then they could get in earlier and it was a way to maximize their time. And exactly. If Disney's saying we don't need third-party tour guides, well, then nobody's going to – people might not recommend staying on property because why?
You know what's going to happen is, like, they're not going to recommend – I don't think when Monica says, like, oh, they might not come. I think they are going to come. They're going to have a shit time. And they're not going to come back again the next year and the following year and the following year and turn into – this crazy SOB, I'm pointing at myself, you know, that started going when he was 6 and didn't stop going at 40.
Right. You know, like. You want to get those people that keep going until they're 40.
You got to be like Joe Camel. Get them for life, you know?
Get them for life.
Well, I think that's where they're making the biggest mistake. That they're not calculating the fact that, you know, or not realizing the fact that these people are making the guest experience better. A lot of them are making it a better guest experience, and it's going to encourage return business.
I think you're right. I think that they're not understanding that. That's right. The real problem.
And by the way, I do want to go back to something. When I was talking all that shit about Disney, I want to make it very clear. I feel that way a lot about the company. Now, there were a lot of rides and experiences there that I loved, and I do love Epcot, like the park and the environment. Like, I just wanted to kind of go back. I didn't want people to think like I hated everything about it. Like, I just meant as a company.
We knew you were talking about, yeah, as a company, not, as a product.
I thought about it. I didn't want to, like, be misunderstood. But anyways, going back to that, there's so many people that are just not going to feel like dealing with it anymore. I've read a lot of comments on a lot of videos where people have been like, you know what? Disney, for me, used to be this thing where I spend a ton of cash. All of my savings go towards it. And we love to go, but now it's become so difficult to deal with, and the logistics have become so challenging that it's not really worth our time anymore. And I'm seeing that a lot, sadly.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, guys, I think we have to roll.
Yeah, we have to wrap up, but we have the notes here. We're going to, you know, if anybody's so inclined, write to the executives, talk about the ethical mistreatment of the guides. Guests not coming back because they don't have the assistance. Like, we need letters written to the executives about these things. Monica will keep us up to date if anything comes out, if there's any sort of letter writing campaign, if there's anything, whatever, if there's picketing, whatever there is, let us know. We're happy to mention it on the pod. You can still follow Monica because she does a lot of things. She's the jack of all trades. On TikTok, she's at Barbie Noe. That's BarbieNoe. If you want to see these two in a show, they have a band with what I think is one of the coolest names in the world. It's Subliminal Doubt. They even have a Christmas ornament that's hanging on my tree right now.
Nice.
Yes.
On my tree too.
Yeah, it's so cute. So Subliminal Doubt, is there a website?
Yeah. You can go to our Facebook or our Instagram.
Right.
We're just using a link tree as our website because people really don't care about websites anymore. Yeah,
they really don't.
So, but yeah, we've got YouTube with full-scale videos. We've got Facebook, Instagram, like I said. I have a TikTok, which is fake_Gwen, where I share some, like, behind-the-scenes stuff for our performing. And
also a great way to support Monica is, she is a ambassador for Give Beauty. My face is covered in it right now, so is hers.
Yes.
Because I've become a major fan, and because, so you can check out the link in her bio for that. You should also follow her for that, because then she'll let you know when there's any sales.
Like right now.
Like right now.
Christmas.
Christmas sales. They ship fast.
Hey, thank you guys. Thank you guys for your support, and thanks for listening to me be angry and frustrated and letting me vent publicly a little bit. And ultimately, we care a lot about, you know, this town, this industry, and you guys giving us a voice really does help. So we appreciate it. And again, thanks for tolerating me and my loud
mouth. Jonathan, you're no one tolerates you. You're a great person, and you're really funny and really knowledgeable. Love you both so much. Wish you guys the best. I know you guys are going to come out on top. But please go show them the support. They're really wonderful people. And we will talk to you soon.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, The Dark Ride, presented by Drunk Distery, is available every Wednesday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else podcasts are available. The show is free, but you can pay us by liking and subscribing, giving us that 5-star rating review, or just telling a fellow theme parks loving fan to listen. Follow us on social media. We got at Drunk Distery on TikTok. We've got at The Dark Ride Podcast on Instagram. You can send Ryan an email. He loves them.
I haven't had an email in so long.
He hasn't had an email in some time. I did see some new reviews up on Apple.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah.
So I want to thank you guys for that. Keep those reviews coming. Keep those 5-star ratings. That really helps out. The email address is what, Ryan?
It's drunkdistery@gmail.com.
I want to give him something to say.
Yeah, let me say something.
I got to make him useful.
Let me talk. No, please hit me up. You know, anything, just to chat. I'll be your pen pal.
Yeah, I mean, he guys, throw him a bone here.
Yeah, for real.
That's it for us. But as always, thanks for drinking theme parks with us. Cheers.